punaktu sah viryam karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasari gaura bhakta vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. Okay, Jagadish ji, with you.
Yes, Maharaj, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Could you hear me before? No one could hear me before.
Yes, I heard, as soon as I connected, I heard you talking about Ganapatyas and the Kshatriyas.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it a question on Panchopasana?
No, it wasn't some, yeah, it's that combination, Panchopasana, the levels of consciousness and all that. So a discussion that had come up before is that, in your modern academy, when you're dealing with all these different principles, then they're taken as different approaches, you know, which in one sense they are, but they don't necessarily have to be harmonious. Because you have your idea, and it's one way to speculate, someone else has theirs, so they work more on the detail than they do on the principle. You know, so the principle is just a formula in which you can put the details that you want. So it's not actually about the formula. It's just the formula is an easy way to pack. It's just like, let's say you have a bag and you have compartments in the bag and there's nice places to put everything. So the bag is just for, because you can put the things there, but actually it's what's in the compartments that's important to you and not the bag. So in the modern academy, then it'll be the detail is what's the real thing for them. And so therefore then you have these principles of Sambandha Abhidaya Prayojana, you have the Panchakosha, you have the, you know, that five levels of gaining knowledge, you have the worship of the five deities and the Panchopasana. And so they don't have to actually overlap properly or nicely. In the mind, these are different ways you can approach. And whichever one you think is more important, you put that as your main thing. And that can work for your level, but it doesn't work as the overall. So in the Vedic Academy, then you have that, you have these principles because they all come from Krishna. Krishna is the origin of everything. So therefore, then everything that you're dealing with then has to fit into how Krishna sees it. In other words, objectivity means how does Krishna see it? And if you see it not like that, that's subjectivity. No matter how much you jump up and down and claim that we're objective, I as an academic and objective and all anybody else who's not an academic or who's lower on the academic, you know, food chain is subjective because I said so, you know? And so that becomes a big difficulty because it's based on false ego. So that's the thing. It's supposed to be the intellectual platform, but it's based on false ego, false identity. So it's not actually as intellectual as they would like to think. They have great intelligence. They use that intelligence and they do many amazing things with it, but it's not actually that they're situated on that platform. As we can see is that the more they get into it, they just work on the Anamoy platform. And sometimes they're a little social on the mental platform, then they get into the Pranamoy. But if they're just using intellect, they're just staying on the Anamoy platform. And then they want to comment on these higher levels, which they actually don't have adhikar or qualification for. So one always has to be very, very careful when one's working with these different aspects, you know, as devotees, is that we're able to discern the difference between these. And therefore, we're always going to take, you know, the Vedic Academy and how it projects things and use the descending method. So then it becomes nice. So even if you're accepting the Vedic evidence, but you're still using an ascending process, it can become, you can come up with wrong conclusions naturally. So that descending aspect has to be there. So one has to see how these things come up. Does that make some sense? Yes.
Yes.
You had something, Mataji? No? Again, no sound.
Yeah, well, I mean, connection is very weak in Mayapur because I don't know how many thousands of people are here and they all left for Parikram today, but I think it's like 15,000 people right now in Mayapur.
15,000 on Parikram? That's the biggest I've ever heard of.
Well, they have 6 or 7 groups. Like
Parikram groups. Each one day goes and they keep moving around.
Yeah.
Wow, that's far out.
And yesterday, I mean, I didn't even try to enter the temple.
There's one thing you could, you may already know this, but if you know that road that's in front of the long building in the Sankirtan building?
Yes.
You know, to the north of the temple?
Yes.
So on the road there, just kind of a little bit, means if you're facing the temple, a little bit to the left of the gate that you walk through to go to Panchatattva temple, a little bit to the left there, there's a tree there. Around there, you can offer obeisances there, and you can see the Panchatattva.
Yes.
Yeah. And then if you go around on the side, you know, between the temple and the TOVP, then if you're just next to Garuda, just behind Garuda, you know, a little to the right of Garuda, you can offer your obeisances. Yeah. You can see Nrisingadev.
Nrisingadev, yeah.
Yeah. Or if you need, because it's so packed, then you can go, you know, if you go that road to go up that little path, also on the north of the Lotus building, that you would go to go up the steps and go into the Lotus building, but you don't go up the steps, you go under the steps,
yeah.
Right? And then you go around to that back gate that's there behind Prabhupada.
Right.
And if you offer obeisances there and you stay down on your knees in that, you can see Radha Madhava.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in that way, you can have darshan without going in the temple.
Yeah, I actually, it's interesting. I figured it out during COVID when they locked down the temple for six months.
Okay.
I was doing that parikram every day.
Okay, yeah, so you can come by. Yeah, you do that and you come. You used to be able to walk through to the Panchatattva and that, and then from outside you could do, but now they blocked that from the Lotus building, so you have to go around it. Yeah, you could. You could walk. That's interesting. Yeah, you could start there and walk all the way around and just go, you know, and then go out to the Sugar-Free Road and then down the Gammon Road and then come back and you could do a, you know, a full circumambulation of the temple.
Yeah.
And get darshan. Wow. Okay.
So this might be one of the reasons that the connection is very weak because so many people using the internet, it just can't supply everybody.
15,000. It used to be that I think 1,000 devotees would come for the festival. I mean, before it was less. And that was like everybody's freaking out. It's the most people at one time. And even like that, then it came to the point where regular weekends were, I think, oh no. And then I think then Maharaj would bring, I think it went up to a few bit more, and then Radhanath Maharaj sometimes would bring his devotees for Purnima. Then you'd have 5,000-6,000, you know, and the other 1,000. But then from the winter, then you would get the guests that would come in all the buses and that, the locals, up to like that 15,000 to 20,000 on a weekend or a major festival. So the Prashad halls then, you know, are used to feeding 15,000 to 20,000 people in a day. And so after that, it was no difficulty. Now it's like that, you know, 15,000 to 20,000, who cares how many it is, because you're already dealing with that on a regular basis anyway.
Yeah.
Just, how you say, the local phone service has to catch up, that's all. Okay, you had your question. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, I connected through mobile. May I ask you now?
Yes, please. Yes, I can hear you.
Will it be right to say that this both of these levels, Pranamoy and Manamoy, they are social, but on a Pranamoy level, we connect, we identify ourselves with the group on the level of mind, how we like, and on the level of manamoy, we identify according intelligence, as it's should be according shastras.
No, because intelligence, actually, if you're putting that, intelligence is coming at the level of vijnanamaya. I mean, you do have intelligence there, but it's partial, it's mixed, because it's intelligence with action, you know, and so that fruitive. And then when you get the vijnanamaya, it's intelligence with detachment. So yes, you could say it's using the other one, it's more of a sentiment and all that. You may use the intelligence, but it's not necessarily used in the intellectual platform. It's more the lower platform. So you always have to understand these things are all overlapping, but then you have the major aspects. It's that from manamoy, you're looking at it from shastra, what shastra says, and that's the way it is. It's not a matter of speculation. Pranamoy, then it's whatever you feel and whatever people around you that agree with you feel, like that. And anamoy just means what you feel, what's good for you. So even anamoy is not even so much social. It's more about yourself. And if others can fit into that, nice. But otherwise, it's not. Social means where they do work as a group, like that. But, you know, it can accommodate, the pranamoy can accommodate anamoy because pranamoy is about anamoy. In other words, anamoy is I get things for myself. Pranamoy is we work together, then we can all get things for ourselves. And we can get more because if we work together, we can improve the quality of, you know, arts and sciences and sports and, you know, whatever it is that what facility we're interested in. By working together, we can get more. So the idea is that's why it's extended sense gratification. It's about what I'm going to get. And if I work with others, I can get more. That's all. Does that make sense? So you're going to have, but it's atheistic. It's not based on shastra and what the shastras say. You may use it like Vaishnavas many times are happy to quote shastra as long as it agrees with what they're saying. Then they can be more confident. Yes, what I'm doing is right. That's why you see recently you can see in the business community, as the woke kind of mentality becomes popular, then they go woke just because they think they'll get more customers, you know, or they won't lose customers. But it's not necessarily that they believe in all that. They just use it because it works. Does that make sense? So even though they may think and they use it, but it's shastra is not primary. Shastra has to support their idea of right and wrong. Well, on manamoy, then no, shastra is the basis, and anything else, just like the king, if he goes in and by somehow or another takes control of another kingdom and he has the authority in that new kingdom, then any customs in that kingdom, even though they may be different than the customs that he follows in his kingdom, if they're not against shastra, he has to leave them in place. He can't change them because, you know, our custom is different. No, he has to leave it. Right? So the point is you're protecting the people. This is what the people do. It's not against shastra. It's unique. It's different. You know, how they eat, what they eat, how they, you know, dress, how they do all these things. Then, you know, that's unique. Therefore, you leave it. You know, it's just like, let's say a Rajasthani king takes over Gujarat. He leaves all the Gujarati traditions in place as long as they're not opposed to scripture. Right? So that ability to be able to see the different groups and all this and that, no, the lower can't see that. Pranamoy, it's they can see what they see, and they think that what they see is for everybody, therefore everybody has to do how they see. So that's why you see the modern liberals, is that whatever's their idea, everyone has to do it. They can't accommodate different points of view, absolutely can't. Well, then the manamoy or the jnanamoy, that level, then you can see that There's different groups. So as long as it's in line with the principles of the Vedic culture, then it's not opposed. So therefore, it's different, but it's the details different, but the principle is still the same. So that takes higher consciousness. That's why Kshatriyas can do that, because when they're the Kshatriyas, they will protect all communities. Vaishyas, if they get in charge, they'll only protect their own community. So there's no way you can say Vaishyas are a higher consciousness than Kshatriyas. Because you can say, oh, but they want to control everything. So Vaishyas do too. That's the blessing in the Bhagavatam, is that the Brahmin will become, the best among the Brahmins. The Kshatriyas will become an emperor. The Vaishya will become a king amongst Vaishyas. And the Shudra will become a devotee. You know, these are the Phalashrutis. So the only reason is that, well, the French Revolution, why does that happen? Because the Vaishyas wanted to be, have more position and control. And so they went in there, and what'd they do? They didn't just come over and take control and, okay, now that they have the money and control, then everybody lives peacefully. No, the first thing they did was go in and kill the Kshatriyas. That was their first thing, kill all the Kshatriyas that they can. And if anybody are weak enough and are willing to be submissive to them, then they'll consider. And any intellectuals also who get in the way, then you kill them. So you see that anytime you have that kind of a thing or any a socialist thing, immediately they go for leaders and they get rid of them. So there's no question that they appreciate groups. Not at all. Well, Kshatriyas, they run the country. They have to keep that. They have to keep that in place. Vaishyas can't, unless they see they can make money off of it. But they'll try to adjust everybody so they make more money. You have a tradition that keeps you from making money. It's just like before. The ladies would stay at home and, take care of, the house and everything like that while the husband's out, taking care of things outside. So that way, between the two, it's a team. It works. But then the Vaishyas are greedy. They've already got their market up to maximum. And instead of being satisfied and now sitting back and then, just maintaining that, which takes the mode of goodness, which they don't have, then they would naturally get themselves more into doing devotional activities, some social work, these kind of things. Improve the quality of interaction with their family and friends. They would do that. But no, they're so greedy. They won't do that. They have to go beyond what they, even though they have enough, they have plenty. They don't have any shortage. But, by the nature of the businessman just wants to make more and more and more. Fine. Great. But know that it has to balance it with Krishna consciousness, because they're not God conscious in that way. Therefore, now they think, where's the new market? So then somebody from, Mad Men on the, Third Avenue, then they, or Madison Avenue, excuse me. That's why they're called Mad Men, from Madison. But they also are crazy. So Mad Men is, so then they tell them, hey, you're only getting half of the population because you're only getting the men. You're not getting the women. Because women may want some, they'll tell the man to go out and get it. Or he might take her out to get it. But he's the one there. But he says, you have a whole spectrum of women who could be buying things directly because they need it, and even though the family or nobody else needs it in the universe. And so therefore they started advertising and started to break down the social fabric that kept the families in place. And that was where your the modern women's liberation movement started. That was started by businessmen, because they wanted to get more money. And then the women are so stupid, they think, no, we're getting freedom. No, all you're doing is you get the freedom to spend all your money, and then this Vaishya, he makes more, this capitalist just makes more money off of you. All it is, it's just business. If it doesn't make money, no one supports it. You know what I'm saying? So if it doesn't work on the political platform or the economic platform, nobody cares. In the modern world, the Vedic, because this is Shastra, therefore we care. That's why we do things. So that means that's why it's the Kshatriyas, guided by the Brahmins, that run society. Vaishyas can never run society on their own, because their point is making money. So the only thing they do is, how can I make more money out of this? That's why it has to be controlled. Therefore, Kshatriyas are above Vaishyas. So to put them below in consciousness and that makes zero sense. Otherwise, who controls society? Vaishyas aren't going to do it. That's what's going on now. The bourgeois, that's the meaning. The bourgeois means the Vaishyas. And so they want to control everything. And that's what they do. They run countries because they put in the money. They run the education because they put in the money. They run government because they put in the money. So, and how is it going socially? It's a mess. It's falling apart. The more greedy they get, the more they want, the more they control it, the worse it gets. And you see in places where they have stronger control, stronger this and that, then there's less problems. There are still places in the world where there's strong control, where people don't have to lock their houses. They don't lock that. When I was a kid, we never locked our house. We all went out. I went to school. Parents went to work. No, we didn't lock the house. The front door was locked just because someone might walk in. We weren't afraid going to stay. Windows were there, huge windows. There's no bars in them. You could open them. Just nobody stole like that because government's strong. So nobody did anything. But now you get it. Now it's like, you know, that walking down the street, broad daylight, they'll steal from you. So that's what happens. When you put Vaishyas in charge, it will fall apart. You know? And when it starts to affect their, and as long as it doesn't affect their economy, they don't care. As long as it starts to affect the economy, because it's so bad, nobody's making money and no one wants to make money, nobody takes care. Only then they'll start to change their approach so that they're inspired to spend money. Make money and spend money. That's it. That's the balance. You know, and we're talking about, you know, capitalism, how it works. So it's part of the system, but it can't be the top of the system. You have to have the brahminical aspect as the top of the system. Kshatriyas following that, Vaishyas following that, and then Shudras helping where they fit in. That's how it works. Because otherwise, there's no end to it. How do you keep everything in line? So say the Brahmins by being devotees. So the Lord and the Parampara keeps them in line. The Kshatriyas are kept in line for the Brahmins. The Vaishyas by the Kshatriyas. The Shudras by all the other three. That way it works. But if you have any one on their own and it's not connected to Krishna, it won't work. Is that okay?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, now when you explain this point, I remembered when I discussed with Goswami Maharaj, he said, I remember why he explained such a way. He said, Manamoya level is a level of mind, and usually Vaishyas on the level of mind, therefore Manamoya is a level.
But what's it called? It's also called Gyanamoya. It's Gyanamoya and Vigyanamoya. Gyanamoya means you have knowledge. Vijnanamoy means you have realized knowledge. So knowledge means you have knowledge of the scriptures of God, you know, who you are as the soul, you know, how society functions, what's varna, all those kind of things. Vijnanamoy means you have realization of that. You understand you're the soul and not the body. Therefore, you don't put as much emphasis on the body and fruit of work like someone on Jnanamoy who doesn't have the realization. It's also called manamoy because you're going to engage the mind to get everything done. And so therefore it's still, but now the mind is choosing according to what is in line with God's orders. But you can't say that because it's called manamoy, therefore it's there. You know, just on mind and senses, that's going to be down. If it's just senses, it's going to be anamoy. Mind and senses is going to be the anamoy. I mean, pranamoy. You know, mind and senses, some intelligence where you understand that'll be the manamoya and the jnanamoya. But when you leave those three, because those three are fruitive, dharma, artha, kama, then you go up to the higher stage of vijnanamoya, which is then realization is based on the platform of the soul. It's not based on groups and those kind of things. It's about the soul. You see groups in how they get their nature of their group according to God's laws, but you're not socially necessarily interacting with them. You know, the sages are in the forest, so they're not interacting on the social platform. Does that make sense?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, thank you.
Okay, but that's the point. Is no, it's not just anamoy. I mean, we use manamoy a lot because of the point of the mind is being engaged. Because you have that point where you're using the mind, but it's based on intelligence. It's control, mind and controlled by intelligence. You know, so because you know God's laws are there, Shastra becomes more important. So no, you can't. That would not be a strong position because it's also called jnanamaya, which means knowledge of God and His laws. Pranamoy means you don't know about God's laws. You may have a sentiment and all this, and may kind of accept that God's there, but push comes to shove, how much are they God conscious? You know, something goes wrong and they don't get the material benefit they wanted, then they don't have faith in God. Rather than thinking, well, maybe I'm sinful, that's why God didn't give it to me. No, immediately, I don't get what I want, God must not be there. So God's part of the system, but not really the very prominent in the system. That's for some. For many, you can be pranamoy and be totally atheistic. You know, so you're always going to have that little bit of overlap, or is that they believe in God and all that on the platform of manamoy, accept the shastras, follow all that, but you know that there's the demigods and there's, you know, God as the just the mode of goodness and stuff like that, and so then you know it's all about that. So that upasana, but it's at a much lower level. You know, so those who then accept, you know, worship of the monotheistic, then they're going to be higher in that realm. And then those who accept the monotheistic through the Vedas will be the highest in that realm. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the thing, is that aspect of being that there's God is included can either be the bottom end of that manamoy or the top end of the pranamoy, depending upon basically how much they're accepting scriptures or things like that. You know, like the common person, they may say that I'm Abrahamic, you know, religion, but they don't know the scriptures. They don't quote the scriptures. They just know, try to be good and nice, and they follow the social customs of their community. But otherwise, they don't really know what's going on. So much of the time, they're more on pranamoy. But if you talk to them, you can get their consciousness to be functioning in manamoy, because they'll accept that there's the Supreme Lord and we're supposed to serve and help and everything like that. And so it's not difficult to bring them, at least while you're talking to them, to that platform and have them view through that platform. So that's why once you get there, then you see is that, you know, being the soul, we're not actually part of this world, part of that world. So therefore, then we should try to develop love for God. And that's the thing that we can do even here. And then take them on through. And so once you do that, then just by regular association, then you can start to get it where they start to have faith on that platform. Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, okay. I was also thinking that another problem seems to be, at least in my own experience, is that scientists, they can define consciousness. I mean, some of them accept consciousness as a concept, but if you really ask them to define, they will define it either as mind or as intelligence. But what consciousness is, they're not clear. So
no.
this is also a problem.
Yes, means you're talking about this modern academy. They don't understand the soul. And even if you do have those who have that bit of higher consciousness, have that faith, they accept God, they accept that we're the soul and things like that, then if you ask what is the soul, then it basically comes down to the same thing. It's the mind, the intelligence, the body. But then the problem is that when you die, the body's still there. So then there can't really be the body. But they do have a great value in the body. That's why you bury the body, because then that body will go to heaven. You know, but, you know, so it becomes very, very muddled. So I think, your point you're making is that there's no real understanding of the soul. That's why Vijnanamoya is where you actually get an understanding of the soul. How the soul is spirit, is Brahman, and is separate from the body. You know, that becomes clear at that point. Before that, you see, those on that Yanomoy platform, then they are appreciating that they're the soul. That's why they can do fruitive work now. I mean, the sacrifice now to go to the heavenly planets and get the heavenly body. They know that they're the same person. You know, so they have enough. So it's enough to understand, or the Kshatriyas, that they're not the body, they're the soul. So they can go out and fight, and they'll die on the battlefield and go be elevated to heaven. And it'll be the same them there, you know, just in the heavenly body. So there has to be some element of that for people to work on both the religious platform and on that platform, like we said, the Kshatriyas are doing, you know. Or even then you even have Brahmins who are supposed to be functioning more on the Vijnanamoya, but they're functioning, you know, they're Karmakanda Brahmins, so therefore there's a more on that aspect, so they'll be on the bottom level of that or the top of the other. So that, you know, that's the thing, is you're going to have the one, but then it's where you apply it. Just like devotees function at Vijnanamoya. That's the platform they function from, because they know they're not the body, they're the soul. And so then they should be functioning up on Anandamaya. So you see is that devotees, when it comes to the morning program and festivals and kirtan melas or taking darshan of the deities or, you know, something like that, then you're going to see they'll be working at that Anandamaya platform. But then many, without, you know, understanding, then when it comes to their daily life, then we see is like if they're from a Hindu background more practicing, then they'll practice that at Manamoy. They're coming from non-Hindu outside the Vedic. They're functioning outside the Vedic society, whether they're Indians or not. They tend to work at a Pranamoy platform because that's what they work at. Some individuals that want to make it all about themselves, they'll function at the Anamoy platform. You know, so when somebody makes it that they're the center of attention, it's all about them and don't care about anything else, that's Anamoy. So this whole modern thing of being the victim, that's Anamoy. It's just functioning at the lowest level of consciousness and claiming to get the highest benefits. So it's really not a good platform. You know, everybody becomes offended at everything because that's, you know, so that platform, that's also the platform of the shooters. So we see children getting, you know, easily fall into that. Women, like it mentions, and I think it's ninth canto, that, you know, one of the things, women are easily insulted. So when they get insulted, they can make it all about themselves. So that's the advantage of it. And because of their power and potency and influence, therefore, then they can get everybody else to be more submissive to their position or supportive of their position. So that's why you see ladies will be counted amongst the Shudras in that aspect, you know, or that they lament, everything can make them, throw them off track and they can lament about everything. So from that, but by nature, what their nature is or their values and how they function, then they'll be Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. But how they personally work in those kind of personal interactions and social interactions, they can very easily fall into that kind of, you know, lamenting, self-centered, I'm the victim mentality. So that's the thing, is that you have working at one, but what you're doing with it, that's another thing. So that also makes it more difficult to understand. You know, just like Duryodhana, he's a Kshatriya, he knows all the things, but his purpose is just artha and prestige, which is not the purpose of the Vedic thing of being a Kshatriya. So that's why it was a problem. He was running it at Pranamoy, you know, and many things were just about himself. So even some things are Anamoy. While Yudhishthir is performing his duties in that, but how could he do that to such a degree? Because, you know, not acting as the body and then acting as a devotee. So we see is that they're going in opposites. They're both Kshatriyas, so that their duties are situated in that Manomoy platform. But then Yudhishthir's in his consciousness and application is taking it up and Duryodhana is taking it down. So therefore the divine and the demoniac, which way you're taking it. You know, so someone can use dharma or kama for Krishna, but it has to be, that's where it's going. It's going towards Krishna. But for Duryodhana, it's not going to Krishna, it's just going to himself. So one also has to be careful in application to see where one's applying. Yes, does that make sense? You had a question?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, I have a question about lamentation. I have a group of girls to whom I teach philosophy, and I see the girls, especially those who have strong desire to serve to Krishna and whose practice is good, but they often lament that japa is not attentive and such things.
And that kind of a lamentation is not a problem. As long as it's not making it just about themselves. The weakness will come in that if the mode of ignorance comes up, then they don't want to chant. And what's the use? And I can't do it, so I'm useless. And so I might as well, you know, go, you know, binge on ice cream or something, you know, do something valuable. You know, so no, but it's a matter of that humility that I'm so useless that I can't even chant properly, even though I'm, you know, a part and parcel of Krishna. I mean, he's an eternal servant that I can't properly do. So that kind of lamentation where I'm so unfortunate, but it's not left in that thing. So there's no mode of ignorance. It's coming from that pure goodness, is that you know who you are and you know you're not up to the standard, but by the grace of the spiritual master and by Krishna, then we've been given this opportunity to serve. And so therefore, then we have, here, I just read you something.
Maharaj, yesterday one girl tried to commit suicide because of some her japa became worse and worse. And I tried to explain.
But that's mode of ignorance.
Yes. So,
go ahead.
I mean, I tried to explain her that if we lament too much, it's Shudra's mentality, but you said that for women, it's natural to be a Shudra's.
It's natural, but the point is no, it's natural to have that mentality. It's not natural to be a Shudra. A woman is the nature she is. I mean, some pro-Vedic will say she has no Varna. She does. That's why in Brahmanu it mentions that you have to marry those of equal nature. Brahmin boy marries a Brahmin girl. But the point is her social status will be according to her husband. So let's say a Brahmin girl marries a Vaishya, then she's going to move in Vaishya circles, not Brahmin circles, and she'll be dealt with as a Vaishya. But her nature is that of a Brahmin. That's why if it's not, that's why their kids will be, you know, abhiras. So the point is they have a tendency. That's why it's mentality women can tend to be like Shudras. That's why it says, Vaishya, Shudras, women and the friends of the twice born, they're put in the same category because they tend to lament and get on the bodily platform more often than is necessary. But what you can tell is the lamentation that my chanting's not going well and this, that's fine. That means that's the humility. But here, listen to this. This is Bhuta Shuddhi. This is the mantra in the puja. This is the meditation before the Sanskrit mantra is chanted. So Bhuta Shuddhi means purifying the bodily elements, you know, means the earth, water, fire, air, and ether. By identifying oneself as the eternal servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. So in other words, the mechanical system of going through and destroying them and re-putting them back and making with nectar and all that, we don't worry about. We just take it, you identify as the servant of the servant of the Lord, it's done. Right? So here's the prayer. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna, but because of my bad fortune, I have been inimical towards him from time immemorial. And thus I have identified myself with my body and continuously wandered in the cycle of birth and death in the material world, suffering the burning threefold miseries. Now, as the result of some unimaginable good fortune, my spiritual master's mercy has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant, an infinitesimal spiritual being completely apart from the gross and subtle body. And so, by the order of my spiritual master, I have obtained the good fortune of serving his lotus feet and following in his footsteps the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radhe Shyamasundara. Right? So that's the point is, yes, you can see here as he's pointing out that, yes, I'm unqualified, I'm fallen in that. You've seen the prayers of the Goswamis pointing out their lack of qualification. But it's never in the mode of ignorance. It's from the platform of knowledge. So they're working from the platform of that vijnanamoy, that I'm the soul, not the body. And so, therefore, then he doesn't have that mode of ignorance that I should kill myself. Does that make sense? So it's not an option. Because the point is, by killing yourself, you absolutely don't solve any problem. I mean, none. Because the problem is then if you kill yourself, you end up as a ghost. Now what are you going to do? Does that improve your japa? Right? Does that improve your japa? You want to eat, you can't eat. You know, you want to engage the senses, you can't. You know, and then you have that frustration, you wander around. How does that improve the situation? This whole idea that killing yourself does any benefit at all, it doesn't do anything. All it does is you end up as a ghost and now you don't have a body. How do you serve now? So it doesn't work at all. So that's mode of ignorance. Because the human life is so rare, and then you get rid of it because, you know, of you know, too many emotions or this or that, or, you know, you got a hangnail and it can't handle it anymore, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? So it's not an option. Does that make sense?
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, so therefore, that they're seeing that I'm not qualified, that's fine. That's good. That's intelligent. So that they're seeing that, that's intelligent. And it's going down. How do you know it's going down? How do you know you're not becoming just more aware of what it's always been? Just like, let's say, for example, someone who's brand new to Krishna consciousness. They just meet the devotees for the first time in discussion with them. They become inspired in Krishna consciousness. Now, in their mind, they're thinking of Krishna all day, but they're going about their duty, whatever they do. They go and eat at their restaurant, they meet their friends, they go out and play some, you know, video games, and they do this and that. But at moments in between, they remember about Krishna. So in their mind, they're Krishna conscious all the time, right? Now, with association, they become more aware that, well, some of the time that their you know, life is not as Krishna conscious as would be ideal. If you really want to move forward. So now does that mean, oh, it's getting worse? Or they're just becoming more aware of what's always the way it's always been? So therefore, the point is by following the order of Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas, then we move forward. We move forward. So you want to stay on that edge of trying to be inspired and move forward in Krishna consciousness. Thinking of the past, there was this and that and like that. The point is you have to think of Krishna. Krishna is the solution. Thinking of Krishna is the solution, nothing else. You think of something else other than Krishna, it's not going to give a good solution. There is no solution to the jiva's problems in the material world than Krishna and Krishna consciousness. There isn't. It doesn't exist. It's an illusion to think there is. So it's Maya to think there is. So anyone saying there is, that's illusion. No, only being Krishna conscious. So that they do that, that's there. But pray to Krishna, pray to Lord Nityananda for the mercy to be able to chant. What service have you done Krishna by killing yourself? What's the service? What's the service? You know, is it like the 10th, you know, 10th option, suicide in them or something, you know? You know what I'm saying? You know, where is it? Is it an anga of chanting, an anga of hearing, an anga of remembering, an anga of serving the Vaishnavas and Lord's paraphernalia, an anga of serving the deities? Is it an anga of prayers? Is it an anga of seeing yourself as a servant of the Lord, you know, as surrendering everything? Is it as part of being a friend? Is it part, you know, what is it? What anga of bhakti is it? Where does it say this is your duty? Does that make sense?
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, so therefore, that these moods come up, that's fine. But then make it positive. Do something with it by becoming more serious to chant, take more shelter of the Lord, pray more, and everything like this. And know that it may take time. That they had, look at it like this, that they was going, in other words, their chanting was, let's say, however was their chanting now. Like means right now you're saying they're chanting and they're not, they feel it's less than it was before. Let's just put a number on it just so that it makes it easy for us to deal with. Okay, so let's say their chanting is at, you know, 60% or something.
No, Guru Maharaj, she said because of stress of exam, she started to chant with the videos and movies and other things. And before,
but the
she...
point is yeah, but before, just go back in time. Did she used to watch movies and videos and chant? Or she just watched movies and videos? So at least now she's chanting while she's watching movies and videos. So she's not completely wasting her time. So it's an improvement. So the point is that one has that taste and one is chanting. So therefore, one's chanting at that level. But that may be Krishna's mercy, so you get a taste. In other words, your chanting is here, and then Krishna gives you a time where it's up here, right? To just to show you, then it drops back to here because that's the level you're actually at. Then you're desiring that level, so you want to go forward. It's like Narad Muni, right? When he's the son of the maidservant, then when he was out wandering, at one point in his meditation, then the Lord speaks to him and he hears the Lord's voice. And so then he tries to hear that again the rest of his life. He never does. But it was the drive to make him want that taste, that relationship, that interaction that drove him to be more and more Krishna conscious. And then next life, he's Narad Muni. So Krishna gives some mercy that it goes very nicely. And so therefore, take it as mercy of the Lord. And therefore, we're unqualified, but like that. So the point is, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah. And so the point is, exams will be over. You know? And then you don't have to worry about it. You'll be not under the stress, not under the stress. But you have to understand, material world means there's always going to be some distress. So it comes and goes. It's like waves. They come in, they go out. It goes up, it goes down. So that's just the way it is. So don't worry. You know? So yes, it's not ideal, but, you know, at least then she's chanting. Better than nothing. Most people watch movies, they don't chant. How many people you know that watch movies chant japa while they're watching movies? Right? Not a whole lot that I know. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that then it's good. That whatever's going on, you're always chanting. You know? You know, that's why the modern society, now they have to do all these exams unless they're studying for Bhakti Shastri or something. These are the, you know, the Karmi school exams. I mean, you know, the Karmi degree exams. Then, yes, that's going to create anxiety. Well, that's the point. Who said that we have to do those? Modern society does. We accept them. Therefore, then we're stuck in the same loop. If you want them, then there's going to be anxiety. Anything you want, it's trouble. You want a good meal, you have to work hard. You have to go to the market, get all the ingredients, come back, prepare them all, cook them all, you know, do all the different things. Then you have something nice to eat. It's always, there's always austerity. Anything you want is austerity. So therefore, whatever it is, you want children, it's austerity. Have a child for 2 years, you don't get to sleep. People like sleeping, but they like kids more than sleeping. So therefore, they have kids. No sleep for 2 years. Imagine if you have one kid, then after that, okay, now you can slowly start to sleep. But then many people have another kid. So just when the one kid's starting to go to sleep, the next one's not. That's the way it is. You know, making money, it's all happening. Then things, the world environment changes, and, you know, the economic field changes, and then money doesn't come in quite the same, or you have to look at other places. There's always anxiety. You know, one gets sick, one gets old, you know. So it's always going to be birth, death, old age, disease. They're always going to be there. They're always a problem. Does that make sense? So it's just, that's just the way it is. So it's just, you take shelter of Krishna. In other words, use it to take shelter. Use the lamentation to take shelter of Krishna. Don't use the lamentation to move away from Krishna. Because the problem is, it's not remembering Krishna. That's the problem. The problem is not the movie. You understand? The movie may be an instrument to not remember Krishna. That's why then one tries to avoid those things. But it's not remembering Krishna is the problem. All right? Does that make sense?
Yes,
yeah, because the movie may be a symptom, but the point is the not remembering. Always remember, never forget. So that's what you're looking at. That's the real thing. Does that make sense?
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Jagadish ji, something?
Yes. How I mean, my rush, the main is that I was trying to contemplate why devotees are not very balanced internally and externally, although the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it's perfectly balanced.
Yes.
And lifestyle is also balanced. And yes. The goal is also balanced. But yes. Then when you explain the five levels of consciousness, it sounds like, I mean, it's a guess from my side. That if we take in ISKCON, what happens is that in terms of Prayojana, he is very fixed. You know, it's prema,
maybe just,
and it's in the level.
Maybe turn off your video for while you're speaking, because it keeps cutting out now and again. Let's see if the
oh, okay,
goes
okay.
Yeah, more smoothly. Okay, now try again. So that you got up to the point of.
Okay, but
I heard that you know, the philosophy, the culture, everything's perfect. But in ISKCON, that's the point where it started, was breaking up a bit.
Yeah. Well, in ISKCON, if we take a Westerner practitioner, so it seems that his prayojana is in Anandamai.
Yes.
His practice as a Vaidhi Sadaka is in Vijnanamaya.
Yeah.
But his Sambandha, as you mentioned, is in Pranamaya. So,
yes.
So
and that's on that good days. That's on good days when they're actually feeling more,
yeah,
you know, broad-minded.
No. Yeah, yeah, when they're Krishna conscious.
No, I'm saying the Pranamaya.
Oh, yeah.
Pranamaya,
oh, okay,
is on good days when they're being broad-minded.
Oh,
you know, because otherwise they just worry about themselves and this and that and don't care. And, you know, it's maybe a little extended to their family, but it doesn't become community. And now and again, then they may think community and this and that. So even most devotees, when they say pranamoy, it's only when they're talking all these funny philosophies that they're maybe on pranamoy. But their goal of that pranamoy is their own benefit. But yes, I understand what you're talking about. Yes, so it's going to have... So that's why then the Vedic system recommends following the Vedic culture, because the Vedic culture is God's laws. So naturally it situates you on the manamoy platform, on Dharma. Then, but the Dharma, you don't use it for artha and kama. The Dharma you use for spiritual self-realization and bhakti. So it goes the other direction. You use Dharma as your situation. You use it to practice Krishna consciousness, to try to please Krishna. And then art, because you're doing Dharma, art and kama come anyway. Whatever comes, that you engage in Krishna service. If something comes, you engage it. Something doesn't come, you don't engage it. So that's why it's given. That's why the Acharyas talk about it. That's why you see Jiva Goswami talks about it. Vishwanath talks about it. Rupa Goswami talks about it. Prabhupada talks about it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur talks about it. Bhakti Vinod Thakur talks to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that one of your, you know, goals to establish, you know, in the Vaishnava community is Varnashram. You know, and so that's one of his, you know, it's just like you had Yamunacharya, he had, you know, that had three desires, you know, and Ramanuja understood what those three desires were. I think one was to write a Vaishnava commentary on Vedanta Sutra, and can't remember the other two like that, but like whatever it is, and he understood it, and so therefore he was satisfied. So you have these desires like that, but why is it it's not taken serious? Why is it not that this is what Prabhupada and the Acharyas and Krishna, you know, recommend and want? Why don't we do it? Why do we keep using excuses? Oh, we're Westerners, we can't do it. They can do so much nonsense that they weren't doing before. Why is it that they can't do this? And it's simple. What Prabhupada's given us, the Varnashram he's given us, the Daiva Varnashram, is very simple. It's just the basics of Vaishnava etiquette and cleanliness and interaction, relationship, duties. It's very basic because that's all that's necessary, you know, that's really useful in Krishna consciousness. So much detail is not so useful. You know, as we saw, worship of the demigods, worship of the forefathers, all this stuff. So when they say, oh, it's so much, it's no, you just see what's there. We add in more. We don't need to. Prabhupada told us don't get into deity, demigod worship. Devotees are getting into it now. They have to add that. You know, we get into adding this and that and so many different things. You don't have to add any of that. So it's actually very simple. So what Prabhupada gave is already there. It's a matter of devotees understanding and practicing. It's not that something new is there. Many take it, Varnashram means it's new. No, what Prabhupada gave, that's what you have to follow. So new means you actually appreciate it and understand it and follow it. So if that's done, then all these social things adjust. If not, if they just at least keep that their sadhana very nicely, so it's been working on that platform of Vijnana Moya, they're, you know, as much as they can, they try to remember Krishna, put their consciousness up to Ananda Moya, you know, these big kirtan melas, or like now the parikrams, or big festivals, or anything that goes on, and, you know, they try to absorb themselves more and take advantage. There's any kind of satsang, take advantage, because then they're just increasing that platform of Anandamaya. Even though if their life is situated in pranamaya, then at least if they emphasize the one that's more valuable to them, the other is just their habit or what that, then at the time of death, they can remember Krishna, go back to Krishna. And you don't have to worry about all these other things. But as long as they don't start to profess some philosophy, we know we're Westerners, and we're, you know, we're, this is our platform, and we function. If you practice that, then I kind of doubt you're going to get anywhere. Because you're not, your spiritual and devotional is going to be the weeds will cover that up and stop that. And because you're professing this to make it look like you're an okay dude, you know, then your consciousness is going to be down there. And at the time of death, you're not necessarily going to be remembering that. You're going to be remembering, will people, you know, follow my philosophy? Will my angle on things continue, or, you know, stuff like that? And so very, very dangerous to do that. you have problems, you do, but you don't advise it for others. It's understood, yeah, people do these things. But it shouldn't be taken as a standard. You don't standardize it and say it's all right. I mean, that's how you get the Abrahamic religions and these other things, is that is, yes, they're a bunch of malechas and yavanas, but at least then they're monotheistic. And all they have to do is, you know, have some, if you're following at least the Protestant, you just have to have a mood. You know, if you're you know, Judaic Islamic or you know, some other form of Christianity other than Protestant, then they generally have a little bit more rituals and things that you expected you're supposed to follow and regulate your lifestyle. But people who say these things aren't recommending that. They're simply going by the Protestant thing of just, it's a feeling in the heart, and you know, God's in your heart, and you, if you're there and you pray whatever you feel, and it'll be great. But how often do they feel? And so the regulation is very minimal, but at least they're willing, they're open to the point of someone who is more serious could come and talk to them and try to inspire them to be more serious. That's the only advantage. But as far as being a process of elevation, it's like, who are they kidding? Who are they kidding? Just like the process of karma and jnana, their recommendation is only, the only advantage is that at one point they might bump into a devotee, a pure devotee. You're doing karma, so you're doing yajnas, so a pure devotee might come to your yajna. You're doing jnana and all that, and so renunciation, you might bump into a pure devotee. You know, like Prakashananda Saraswati bumped into the Lord. You know, or Maharaj Prachina Barhishat bumped into Narad Muni. These are examples of someone on the path of karma and jnana, what the actual point is for, is to bring you to that. To say that just, you know, your day-to-day floating around in the ozone is just as good as any other path, I think that may be more in line with Vivekananda than with Vaishnava philosophy. So yes, people have trouble. Do your best. You know? Do your best. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you, Mark.
Okay, looks like we're over time. We'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.